My name is Anna Vogt. I am a senior, double major in psychology and women's gender and sexuality studies. Today is Friday, the 14th of September, 2018, and I am here today with Jeremy Rapport, who teaches at the College of Worcester and who is currently the Department Chair of Religious Studies. What is your primary area of study, and how do you incorporate a feminist or queer approach into your teaching?
My primary area of study is new and alternative religious movements, especially in the United States and especially in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. So that's what I would call my research area. Now, to some extent, I guess I would say I sort of came into interest in gender issues, feminist issues, kind of as a result of that. So, for example, there are a lot of women leaders in the movements that I study. There are a lot of sort of concerns about how gender is conceived among these sorts of religious movements in the late 19th century. And so, to some extent, the data that I was being presented in the material that I was interested in studying and learning about contained issues that the more I worked on them and the more I thought about them, became for me, you know, questions about gender, questions about women's rights, women's position in society, that sort of thing.
Right. Who or what were some of your biggest influences in feminist and queer pedagogies?
Oh boy, that's a hard one. So I feel like much of what I would consider to be my use of feminist and queer pedagogies is actually sort of an ongoing developing project. So when I was in graduate school, that sort of thing would not have existed really at all. And I finished my PhD 12 years ago, so it's not like ancient history or anything like that. So for example, what I encountered when I did my work was people who were very interested in figuring out how women functioned in these sorts of movements, right? So a scholar of religion who teaches at Loyola New Orleans named Catherine Wessinger, who was very influential in getting me to think about why we should be paying attention to women in the ways that she argued we should. Handful of other scholars who sort of did this sort of work from the religious studies viewpoint, right? So to that extent, right, I think what's really interesting for me personally is that it's a developing process, right? So what I would take to be my use of, say, feminist pedagogies in the classroom really comes out of continuing to try to think about, one, what interested my students, two, what sorts of issues did I think were important to teach about related to especially religious takes on women's issues, gender issues, things like that. And then three, just trying to think more specifically about what I thought was of value in the educational process, right? So what's of value in the educational process? Lots of things, but one of the most basic things that I would think is, that I would hope is happening in my classrooms, is that my students learn that you can't understand people without respecting them. And so the various ways that you can study people should always presume that you respect them first, and that who they are and what they've experienced is something real. And that's a first step towards understanding people who may be very different from oneself. So,
right. So I took the interdisciplinary course with you, race, yes, gender, class, and religion.
Yep.
A few years back, and I remember that it influenced me a lot in so many ways because you made me think critically about intersectionality or intersectional issues that I've never thought about before, and that is something that I've taken from your class ever since. When was a time when you saw queer feminist pedagogy have a positive influence or work well in your classroom?
Well, that class, I think, is probably the primary example. Mm-hmm. When I first thought of teaching that class, You know, what I was thinking about primarily was, you know, this is something that I think needs to be in the religious studies curriculum, right? There is no explicit class that deals with these critical social location issues and identities in our curriculum right now, and there needs to be. And so my thinking when I first started doing that class was, students need to be hearing this, students need to be learning about this, and students need to be thinking about the ways in which, you know, again, sort of understanding a person very different from them means understanding the intersections of all these different things, right? I don't know if you remember this. I may not have even used this example in the class, but I frequently talk about how interpreting a person's experience is like looking at a spider web,
I
right?
think I do remember
And so
that.
there's a person sitting in the center of the web, and there's all these lines of the web, and each line of the web is another aspect of who they are, right? Their gender, their race, their socioeconomic location, their religious history, their family history, their and so I really just saw it initially as serving a need that I thought was critical. And I, you know, one of the things that's been really interesting for me, really important for me, is the chance that that's given for me to push my own knowledge, my own experience, my own interactions with students, especially, forward in ways that you know, keep, I think, sort of, how would I put that? They keep me on my toes, I guess, maybe is how I would put it.
What kind of challenges do you think that professors face when bringing feminist queer pedagogy into the classroom?
Yeah, very good question. So I think there's a lot, actually. And they come from lots of different places, right? So one challenge is that this is not an easy or obvious way of teaching, right? So it's not apparent what you should be doing in the classroom if you want to engage the concerns of feminist and queer pedagogies. So that's one issue, the complexity of the task itself. Another issue, I think, is that, I mean, again, it hasn't been that long since I finished graduate school, but certainly those concerns were not part of a graduate education, at least not where I came from. And I would say my best guess is certainly within religious studies, that is largely still not the case, although it's changing a little bit, right? So that's another challenge, right? There simply isn't the training of doctoral candidates in these modes of thinking, or at least not at any sort of wide scale or regular levels. So then there's what students are bringing into the classroom, right? And some students are very aware and very interested and very much willing to participate in the project. Some students are not. And I think to some extent, right, it is the burden of the professor to demonstrate why this should matter. You know, so in other words, it's not the fault of a student who's never been exposed to any of these ideas or any of these modes of thinking or interpretation that they come into a classroom and they don't get it. That's a part of the educational process, period. But that's a challenge, you know, that there are going to be, you know, again, as you mentioned earlier, in religion, race, class, and gender, the you know, that class is it's a 200 level class, right? So it's sort of an intermediary level class. And part of what that means is that there's going to be students from across the campus in that class. And there's going to be students who are very enthusiastic and interested and know quite a bit already, and there's going to be students who don't know anything. And so you have to be very aware of who, you know, who's in the room. What are their concerns? Where are they coming from? But again, I think for me, right, the challenge of that is it's important and it's complicated. But at some level, as I said earlier, right, I think what much of this goes back to is you start with respect. You start with assuming that everyone you're dealing with and talking about and studying and communicating with and whatever, you know, whoever your discourse partners are in any way, that those people automatically deserve your respect. And so I guess that for me is sort of like the first principle.
So is that maybe one of the reasons that motivated you to participate in this workshop
today? Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, my interest in this workshop is especially coming from that place of this is something I'm still learning. This is something that I need to understand better to be a more effective teacher, to understand my students better, to understand what that process of respect entails. So yeah, absolutely.
Well, is there anything else that we haven't discussed yet that you would like to talk about?
Yeah, I think about a lot of these issues quite a bit, and you know, my own positionality is something that I still struggle with. You know, I am a white cisgender hetero male, right? So I'm the thing that everybody sort of expects to be the standard or normal, or everybody's taught to think is the standard or normal, and that gives me a lot of privileges in the classroom that I know other people don't have. And so I think it becomes, to some extent, really important for people like me to engage these issues. Because to the extent that anyone who wants to effectively work with students, wants to help students develop their own education, anyone who wants to do that really sincerely has to know the complexity of identity that they're dealing with, even when it doesn't necessarily look like it. I don't know, that seems like a little bit of a wandering response, but yeah, it's just, it's one of the challenges of working in education today, and I think, you know, what I appreciate about this workshop is the opportunity to explicitly address these kinds of concerns and think about them and think about how to address them.
Well, thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
This was
thanks
all.
Thanks for having me. And yeah, I hope your project goes well.
Thank you.